Hey, welcome everyone to a very special interstitial episode of Facing Movies. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Oscar Wilde. I was like, what the fuck?
No, that's
as you all know, the Oscars are coming up this weekend. So we decided, and Zach, I demand that you title this episode in the feed the Very Special Oscar Spectacular.
certainly.
So we finished recording an episode just a few minutes ago, and then we started talking about the Oscars and realized we're dumb idiots and should have been recording it the whole time. So
it's true,
guys.
We are dumb idiots.
Yeah,
I mean, that has been established. Yes.
let's talk about the Oscars. I mean, we're a fucking movie podcast. We should our opinion is not worth anything, but it's worth at least as much as everyone else's, I guess.
Well,
but
yeah.
Yeah, so, how do you get into the Oscars? You got to be like a director, is it famous
you,
or some shit?
You have to actually have accomplished a film thing.
It seems completely arbitrary though, like which movies get Oscar nods and which don't.
Oh, right, I thought you meant being part of the Academy.
Yeah. Mm. Do you have to be Scorsese or how does that work?
I think you could even be a Vincent Gallo if you wanted.
Oh, yeah. You don't say.
Gross.
That's going to be a weird forward reference for 2 weeks.
Yeah, because that episode won't be out for a few weeks. Anyway,
whoopsie dizzle.
For the most part, we were talking about Best Picture. So
could you give a rundown of like your like what you think each Best Picture is about? Because like I don't remember what the hell you were just talking about.
Yeah. We'll give a quick list and then we can go through them one at a time for basically what we either think they're about or if we had seen them, how we feel about them. Best Picture this year, as we know, the Oscars are at least partially, if not mostly, bullshit, but hey.
We've discussed this in the past. Yeah,
I mean, that's all awards, to be fair. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. And they're less bullshit than the Golden Globes.
Wait. The bullshit award that we give away every single week is super important.
the one where point. Seth did it that's best every single point. Week? Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, kind of seems like fair, that might be fair, the most important award ever.
I'll give you that one.
Rattle them off real quick, and then let's go through them one by one.
Yeah. So the nominees for Best Pictures here are Call Me By Your Name, Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, Get Out, Lady Bird, Phantom Thread, The Post, The Shape of Water, and Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Mm-hmm. First thoughts. Can we do less as the Academy? Please.
Well,
God damn it. That's
so the whole
movies.
Reason we have more than five is because they snubbed The Dark Knight in 2008.
Wait.
Oh, really?
Explica me.
Yeah,
like, what are you talking about?
So back in 2008, they still had a hard and fast only five movies rule, and they did not nominate The Dark Knight for Best Picture, and there was a huge uproar, and officially, that is not why they expanded it to up to 10. It's the current rule is 5 to 10.
But Academy is bullshit, as we know. So.
And it is pretty clearly the reason why they did that.
So what do you know what won in 2005 over that?
2008?
Eight, sorry. Really? Eight? No. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah.
No. I saw that in London in an IMAX theater. It was very
That's pretty dope. Yeah. I'd have to count backwards to figure that out. But can you look that up, Seth?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I was dead, but...
Basically, that was your dead years? Yeah.
whatever year Heath Ledger won Best Supporting Actor, that's what we're going for.
No Country
shit. Was definitely a better movie.
Right. Okay.
That was a rough year, though, right?
Because also There Will Be Blood came out that
There
year.
Will Be Blood, yeah. I'm an oil man. Yeah.
Yeah. I drink all milkshakes.
Speaking of
I
there
abandoned
will be blood,
my boy!
Paul Thomas Anderson's Phantom Thread is one of the nominees.
Yeah, PTA.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about that one.
Have any of us seen this movie? I have not.
I have not seen it.
I heard a podcast this week starring Jennifer Lawrence, and she said it was, quote, very boring. So,
And J-Law rules all, apparently.
Yeah, so, I trust her. I trust her.
So all the criticism I've been hearing about this movie is, like, it's just another tortured male genius story.
Yeah, sure.
Which seems really unappealing.
However, friends of the show, Eva, and I'll be frank up front, a good portion of these movies, at least the ones I haven't seen, I know about because friend of the show Eva has told me about them. So, she is far more qualified to talk about this than I am, but she's not here right now. friend of the show Eva and friend of the show Sarah both told me about Phantom Thread that they thought a lot of the reviewers got it wrong, and it was more a very interesting look at a unconventional dominance and submissive relationship. Way they described it sounded incredibly interesting, but I
we should just go watch 50 Shades Freed.
Figure out what handsome boy number two who ends the second movie standing watching fireworks is about to do to our happy couple.
It's a Skarsgård for sure. It's one of the younger Skarsgårds.
Is he a Skarsgård?
I don't know.
He's one of the lesser Skarsgårds.
Of the famous Skarsgård clan.
Well, but so Phantom Thread is
Skarsgård power rankings. Number one, obviously the oldest Alex. Skarsgård.
Alex. Oh no! Alex, wait, what? You mean the dad? The dad is the oldest one. Yeah.
Yeah. Number two is the one that was on True Blood. Who plays
That's
Vampire
Alex.
Eric.
That's Alex.
Yep. Oh, he's so good.
Number three, It, obviously. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Bill.
Bill, the youngest of the Skarsgårds, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So many Skarsgårds these days.
Oh, there's a
covered
fuckload
in Skarsgårds.
Of them.
Yeah.
So many of those A's with little dots over their names.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Umlauts? No.
Speaking of.
That's not an umlaut. I think it's called an angstrom, and I think that's wrong.
Speaking of the elder statesman of the Skarsgård clan, Mamma Mia 2 coming out soon, so catch it.
Sure enough.
Yeah.
So Phantom Thread, it's a Paul Thomas Anderson movie and also
it is
a Daniel Day-Lewis movie.
Yeah, apparently Daniel Day-Lewis's final movie.
That's Oscar gold. Like you can't fuck with that. Yeah.
I too
have heard it is not great. It's fine. It's whatever.
It seems like the kind of movie that I would at least 10 years ago have felt pressured into pretending that I liked.
Also, I don't know, but I feel like it's like 2 hours and 45 minutes long. It's gotta be, right?
You know what? You know what wasn't 2 hours and 45 minutes long? Dunkirk?
Oh my God! Tell me more.
What a weird transition.
I actually saw Dunkirk. It's a tight 90, and I have to say, it is outstanding.
A tight 90 for a dude who is not known for doing tight anything.
That is that's baffling to me that movie is a tight 90.
Yeah.
And one, it's a war movie, which are notorious for being really, really long.
Yes.
Yes.
You're Saving Ryan's Privates. Your
why is that
other,
so funny?
Other your other porno parody movies.
I know why, because I've been drinking heavily
years
for the last
after,
2 hours, that's why.
15 years after that joke was made, it's still fucking funny.
Yeah, you're Captain Corelli's mandolin.
Oh, you fuck.
Whatever, more movies, they're quite long.
But it's a Christopher Nolan. It is, I believe, his shortest movie.
By a long shot.
Have to say, I really, really liked it. It is a very interesting structure. There's three different timelines that happen all at once. One of the stars of the movie is Mark Rylance, who is one of my favorite Shakespearean actors. He's an Oscar winner. And he also believes that Shakespeare was...
We get
was,
it, you're smart!
Yeah. He also believes that Shakespeare was not Shakespeare, it was just a group of people.
One of those people.
Did he win an Oscar for Romeo plus Juliet, starring John Leguizamo?
No, he did. And Paul Rudd? No, that was a different fella.
Yeah. Oh, well, all I care about is Romeo plus Juliet starring John Leguizamo.
Wait, can we do that on the podcast? Is anybody going to not
No, we can't do that. Everyone knows what Romeo and Juliet is.
Yeah, everybody knows that it is a ripoff of West Side Story.
But does anybody...
God, we've been over this, Zach.
Sorry, when you're a jet, you're a jet all the fucking way, man.
Yeah. See, that's what you get for not having a degree in literature.
I'm a Montague.
Like
and
yeah. I.
This is why I do science.
There was a not brief period in my life where I thought the song "How Do You Solve a Problem Like Maria" from "Fucking the Sound of Music" was from West Side Story. Because they have a character named Maria. Yeah.
That's so confusing.
I buy it. Yeah. Yep.
What's next?
Anyway,
what else we got?
Well, I was going to say quickly about Dunkirk is like this. Normally, I'd say this was finally the year when Nolan would win because it's a war movie and war movies are usually very popular.
Right.
But man, best director is a fucking murderer's row. You got Chris Nolan for Dunkirk, you got Jordan Peele for Get Out. You got PTA for Phantom Thread, and he hasn't won one yet, which is interesting.
PTA hasn't won one yet?
No.
Ooh. Holy shit.
Same thing with Guillermo del Toro, who maybe makes a lot of non-Oscar movies, but is considered an amazing director. But that leads us into a first-timer who is nominated for Best Director that Zach thinks has a really good chance. Greta Gerwig for her movie, Lady Bird.
I do. I very much
do. You saw Lady Bird, you said, right?
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
No, I haven't seen it yet. I've seen all the other Greta Gerwig movies, and she's very charming. She's very, very charming. Also, it stars Laurie Metcalf, as I understand it, right?
So I'm heartbroken that Laurie Metcalf's best chance ever at winning an Oscar is the same year as Allison Janney's best chance
ever. I know. We talked about this. If there could be ever a tie... Again, in the world of the Oscars, this would be the year. Oh my God, please, Academy.
Oh my I know your votes have been locked in for quite a while, but count them up and tie them up.
Yeah,
please. They both deserve it. They are both treasures.
National treasures. Laurie Metcalf and Allison Janney. God damn it.
That's the third one. Nick Cage has to, he thinks he has to save them, but then it turns out that they're independent, strong women and they don't need his shit. So.
Yeah, definitely.
And, wait, is there, there's no amount of money that could get Laurie Metcalf and Allison Janney into a National Treasure movie?
Are you kidding
me? Even Disney doesn't have that movie.
That'd
money.
Be good. It'd be like,
that would be
Allison
so
Janney
good.
Would pretend to be Cece and would get access to the White House.
Oh, no, of course,
and
of course. But
they
like,
would... finds, so, you know, a bust of George Washington in the president's office that has, like, magic powers or some shit.
Yeah. No, I mean, that is an undeniable movie, but also, like, Disney owns that franchise. Getting Laurie Metcalf and Allison Janney and Nicolas Cage in a movie is going to cost... already
not that much money. I really don't think it would cost that much money.
I don't think it would.
Maybe not.
I think at least Laurie Metcalf and Allison Janney would be like, yeah, all right, this sounds stupid and fun, let's fucking
that's how they got into
and Nick Cage would be like movies. Oh, a dollar bill on the ground.
If Disney promised to pay his tomb in Louisiana fee for like 7 or 8 years, he'd be like,
he'd do it. That's fine.
Yeah, never forget about that stupid tomb.
I have to say, if you're a Laurie Metcalf fan like me, a sleeper for like really great Laurie, I don't know, but like a really monster. She is. Everyone knows Roseanne. She's amazing.
They're doing a reboot of Roseanne. Did you hear
that? I heard about that.
They're bringing all them fucks back. Yeah. Oh, they're bringing everybody back.
It really,
even Sarah
really...
Chalk, I think. Yeah.
Oh wow! First Becky.
Yeah.
So a really great Laurie Metcalf's sleeper role is she did I think it's only one or two episodes on Malcolm in the Middle. You should check them out. They're outstanding. She plays Lois's sister. Yeah. She is.
I remember that.
Incredible. In really just an inconsequential role. Just so good.
Yeah.
That show in general, though, was so amazing.
That's true.
I will put up. I think I've told you guys. Horace and Pete, the Louis C.K. show. It was like a drama, and I know we don't like him anymore, and he sucks. But god damn. There's an entire episode where the camera focuses on Laurie Metcalf's face as, I think, Louis's sister. I don't recall. But it's, like, literally 45 minutes of her with, like, a one uplight and just doing a monologue. And it is unbelievable.
Wow. Okay, I mean, I will clearly watch that.
Yeah, it was, like, world-changing. Yeah.
Do you guys have a running tally? What ones have we talked about so far? So we've talked about Lady Bird, talked about Phantom Thread, we talked about Dunkirk.
Yep. I think that's it. I think we spent 15 minutes talking about that.
Okay. As we do.
We are long-winded bitches.
Let's start at the top of the list, I guess, then.
Call Me By Your Name. I did not see this.
I don't know anything about it.
I also have no things to say.
Yeah,
from what I understand, it is a very, what's the word I want to use? Tastefully or affectingly.
French?
Yeah, it's a very affectingly done tale story about a young man's discovering of his own sexuality. Like, this is...
Yes.
Aww. Yeah, very...
Yes.
Very true to the experience of apparently many critics who had the same type of experience.
Sure.
Yeah, see, like, I was super confused because, like, I saw an anime recently that had a similar name. I think it's called Your Name, and it clearly has nothing to do with anything, and I got them super mixed up in my brain.
And Armie Hammer, who only does weird, pointless bullshit, of course, his involvement, I'm sure, just increased that confusion.
Yeah, no, it's...
So the flip side of this is last year, Moonlight won, and Moonlight was a very good movie. Very, very good movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder, the Academy is like a bunch of old white dudes, as I understand it.
Yeah.
So they'll only vote for diversity so often, is what you're
saying? Yeah, kinda, yeah. Like, oh, we had a gay movie, we're good this year. Like, yeah. I wonder if that's going to happen. Yeah.
Well, as three, and not to divulge too much personal info, as three, like, cis, hetero, white dudes, like...
Gonna get doxxed so hard.
I know. Who have not seen this movie? Maybe we don't talk a lot about a movie we don't know anything about.
No, yeah, absolutely yes. Absolutely
yeah.
yes.
Yeah, for sure.
What are the other ones?
Next is Darkest Hour, which is the Gary Oldman in Winston Churchill face, which... who fucking
Fat
cares?
Fat face. Yeah. No, I mean, you say who cares, but I hear that is a very good movie. Also, Gary Oldman in Weird Camouflage is always good. Like, genuinely always good.
You know what Gary Oldman in Weird Camo? Yeah, you know what Gary Oldman in Weird Camo movie I hate? True Romance. Fuck that movie. And fuck him in that movie.
Well, but then there's The Dark Knight and also Fifth Element. And also,
I was about to say, you know what Gary Oldman in Weird Outfit movie I love? The Fifth Element.
Yeah,
okay,
that is pretty dope.
Sid and
Nancy? Like, oh, God, he's a chameleon. He's a real chameleon.
I will give you that he's an incredibly talented actor. I will also point out that he has apparently a very Brexit-y kind of mindset.
He's a pretty shitty person.
Is he?
Of course, so was Winston Churchill, but, you know.
Depends on who you ask. Art or whatever.
You know, Nobel Prize for Literature winner Winston Churchill.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wait, what?
He wrote a lot of historical fictions, and he won a Nobel for it.
That is
surprising. Just like Harry Turtledove and Guns of the South, Winston Churchill wrote alt historical fiction in which Germany won World War One.
Who was that chick that wrote 50 Shades of Free? Because I think we should add her to the list.
So fan fiction.
Yeah.
E.L. James? Yeah, that's same, a little different, but I get what you're saying, yeah. Because fan fiction usually comes from a place, a good-hearted person who cares about something. But
it comes from a place of it comes from a place of World War II. We all know that.
Yep.
So you mentioned that Gary Oldman's amazing in The Fifth Element, and I will also point out Harry Potter, obviously. So
certainly.
While we're talking about genre movies, what about The Shape of Water?
Okay.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this movie.
Yes,
I didn't see it yet.
Fully,
but, there's some
friend
there's
of the show
funky,
Eva told me it was pretty good. Yeah,
there's some funky fish sex.
there's some nasty shit in this movie. Ooh, it's nasty.
But it also is like super sweet and like generally like a really fun, good, interesting, engaging movie, which didn't quite turn out the way that I thought it would.
Yes, I
so,
agree.
Like, as a movie, I think it's really good.
Yeah, it started a certain way, and then it had a lot of very sweet parts, as you note, and then it ended not like I expected as well.
Also, with a couple punctuated fishbone-ing sections.
Oh, a lot of like if you're nasty and you're into fist sex, like this is the one for you.
Now,
sure.
Now, I think even in this movie, so this movie won the Golden Globe, and a lot of people think it has a good chance of winning the Oscar,
which is surprising. It's very surprising.
Yeah, so, I don't
to think me so. At least. Yeah,
even if this movie ends up not winning. I'm also been reading a lot of this seems like Guillermo del Toro's chance.
Right.
How do you guys think the directing in it was?
It was very good in keeping me on my toes, which is something that I really appreciate in
absolutely
a movie.
Yeah.
Which I honestly like it takes a lot to actually surprise me, and a couple of times this movie did surprise me, which I credit to both the writing and the direction. So like,
well, there is an extensive like I haven't seen the movie, but I've been following kind of the like behind the scenes universe building of this movie. It is extensive. It's based on a novel. They keep building extended universe information around it. Like there,
also,
this movie has a world that people love, and they created a movie to express their love for this world. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Guillermo doesn't fuck around. Like, he's
no, he explicitly fucks around, but he's also very good at it.
Well, yeah, sure.
Speaking of which,
no, I agree.
Have
with
you guys seen Hellboy 2? Because that movie is fucking amazing. I saw Hellboy years ago, and I love it. I've watched Hellboy like 20 times, and I finally watched Hellboy 2 for the first time a couple months ago. Holy shit, transformative!
Well, then I'm gonna counter with: have you seen Sons of Anarchy? Because it's basically the same shit.
No, just because Ron Perlman's in it. Go fuck yourself.
We're two thirds motorcycle people in this podcast.
Shape of the Water also has like Richard Jenkins playing.
I
like,
love Richard
really,
Jenkins.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
A really, really good part. And Octavia Spencer is also like really, really
who
interesting.
Is just so outstanding in everything.
So good, so underappreciated.
I feel like it's almost trivial to mention how amazing her one episode of 30 Rock is compared to all of the incredible.
No,
work
oh my god!
Is. But it
she's
is amazing.
Been in so many.
And
things.
That is a good one.
Yeah. She has been in so many things, and I feel like for what was the movie about the female NASA
Hidden Figures?
Scientists?
Hidden Figures.
Mm-hmm.
It was
she,
so good.
So that's but it's upsetting to me that was the first time that we acknowledged her as a person that was very good at the thing that she.
Well,
did.
No, she had won an Oscar for The Help
so
a few years
things.
Earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
God
I get what you're saying. Yeah, like, I think a lot of people considered that a fluke until they saw Hidden Figures.
Yeah.
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 Which was an outstanding movie. Like, it should have been It yeah. should have been a paint-by-numbers biopic, but it ended up being outstanding yeah, because there were really, so many really good performances. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Shape of the Water had Michael Shannon, too, being evil.
Oh, creeps me the fuck out.
I mean, of course you know if he's cast in anything, he's going to be evil.
Always the bad guy. Yeah.
Shout out to him in the movie They Came Together, where he gets shot in the face for a joke. But should we move on?
In general, though, like, I enjoyed it.
We can
move on.
The Post, which is Spielberg's movie about...
It's just Oscar bait.
God damn it.
So it's a newspaper movie, and what's it about again?
It's newspaper.
Nixon, right?
It's Nixon. It's Spielberg. It's Tom Hanks. And it's Meryl Streep. Like, that's Oscar bait.
This movie's about Watergate.
It's a Watergate movie.
Why do people keep making fucking movies? They have the definitive movie about Watergate. It's called Dick.
That joke was funny two times.
Obviously, like, the Watergate movie that is the be all end all is All the President's Men. I mean, it's.
You're right.
Dustin Hoffman, Robert Redford, Jason Robards. Like, you. Don't need to do that again.
I was going to go...
But it's like, oh, hey, look, the Washington Post and, you know, the journalists, let's just jack ourselves off for a hot second.
Yeah. Did the Washington Post finance this movie? Like, what the fuck?
It's very unclear. Meryl Streep is also very sort of... She plays, like, a very bummer female character in this movie, where, like...
Like, bummer how? What do you mean?
Because she's sort of powerless. Like, she's the wife of the guy. And then she's
well,
like
Woodward and Bernstein, or...
I'm not going to embarrass myself historically, but...
Okay.
It was basically, she was in charge of the newspaper, and then they were like, hey, we could run this story and maybe be wrong, and that would be a fucking nightmare. Or we could, like, you know, make history. And she's like, let's make history. So she eventually, like, you know, makes the right decision and does all the things. But she's not, like, a typical Meryl Streep, like, do all the right things, powerful female character, all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure.
It was not a bad movie. It was not a great movie. It was not a bad movie.
Well, and let's not forget, 2 years ago, the Best Picture winner was Spotlight, a movie about the Boston Globe breaking stories about sexual abuse in the Catholic Church. Like,
yes, we're tired of this.
That was a quite a good movie, but like
it was an okay movie.
No, like, it was very enjoyable. It was engrossing.
Kind of. I don't want to watch my news in a movie is the problem. No, you're not wrong, but like...
You prefer your network to be about the Mighty Ducks. I get it.
Mostly that.
Yeah.
So, right, should we go around and do Best Picture?
Well, we got two more.
Two more! Yeah. Jesus fuck!
And these are
there's
are,
so
are,
many this year.
Yeah, these happen to be the two. Along with Shape of the Water, two of the three front runners. First, we'll talk about Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Shit! I forgot about that one. Yeah,
this movie.
I didn't see it.
Okay.
Y'all both saw it.
Deep sigh.
I think it's people have smarter than me have made a very great, excellent point of this is a movie about the toll of racism on small town America, as written by a person from Ireland who has no idea what the toll of racism on small town America. I saw this movie and there are some very strong performances. Like, we talk about Frances McDormand. I think if she won an Oscar, I don't know that I would. I wouldn't be thrilled about it, but I can't argue that she doesn't deserve one for her performance.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like this is another situation where if she won, it would be warranted because she's had a great career.
Well, she has an Oscar, though. Like, it's not like she doesn't have one.
Oh, for Fargo.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I mean, she's been in, like, Burn After Reading and, like, oh, she's very good.
She's excellent. She's an excellent actress. Yeah.
Okay.
But, and Sam Rockwell, who is probably my favorite actor ever.
Whoa.
And also very controversial. Very controversial.
More than likely going to win an Oscar for this movie. And it kind of hurts me that this is the movie that he will be tied to forever. Because his character has this... He is despicable. He gets a redemption that he doesn't deserve. And he kind of changes his tune, but doesn't really change his tune. It's not even like his character goes on a journey of discovery and he's like, I'm going to change my ways. No, he just decides to do one... almost good thing in a shitty way, and it ends up being nothing. It's meaningless in the context of the movie, and like,
yeah,
fuck this movie. I don't know. I have a lot of feelings about it. I thought it was
I remember when you saw this movie, you were very upset about it
for like four days.
I was reluctant to watch it after that, and I agree with all of your points. I feel like I felt less strongly about the negative points. Like, it was an okay movie. It was by no means a best picture.
As we've said in the past, and apparently this is like the odds-on favorite right now.
Yeah.
What does Vegas look like right now? What does Vegas look like?
It's like 6-4 odds, which is very strong.
Oh. Ooh, yeah. That's not bad. That's not bad.
But anyway, like... I think, like, in a vacuum, Zach, like, yeah, I agree with you. This is a very competent, well done. Everyone in this movie is very good. Yeah. Everything about this movie is very polished. But, like, once you compare it to life, fuck this movie. Fuck this movie, right?
Yeah. And it's, no, oh, I God, fully
it's
agree.
So bad.
I fully agree. Yeah. When you read the IMDb premise of this movie, you go, "Oh yeah, I'm super on board." And then you start watching it, and it's very good.
It just feels very tone deaf.
As it goes on, you go, "Oh, I feel less good about this. It's not. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not what it promised it to be." Yeah,
which is a real shame because, like, the guy who made it, McDonough, did In Bruges, which is outstanding.
Yeah. Super good. Super good.
Like,
yeah.
But, like, I guess it's very clear that, like, that was some cultural stuff that either he knew well or I didn't know well enough to argue with. And in this case,
we don't know how Belgium works.
or the world of Irish hitmen, like, you know, like,
sure, yeah, both. Yeah.
I guess that that brings us to the final film nominated, which is, of course, Get Out.
No!
Which I think all of us have seen, correct?
Yes.
Get Out was opening, super fucking good.
Opening day, I think? Opening showing, even. Yeah. It was very fun.
I did see it opening day, yeah.
I think I saw opening 7 p.m. Thursday showing. And it was very fun to watch that show in the community situation.
Crowded theater kind of. Yeah, absolutely. Same
where
here.
Everybody's freaking out, and it's very fun. Very good.
I watched it at home.
What a loser.
Okay. Okay.
Still, the movie in general, though, surprised me in a lot of ways, which, especially in, like, well, okay, so we already discussed genre movies a little bit, right?
Yes.
And the fact that supposedly genre movies never win Oscars.
Very rarely, for sure. For sure. Yeah.
Especially due to these old fucks that are like, genre movies. We talked about this earlier.
There's, like, apparently a lot of older Academy voters who are just not watching this movie. And yeah. and their reasoning is it's not an Oscar movie because it's a genre pick, yeah. which read
I'm
what
so,
you want into that. Yeah,
I'm so white. I'm so white.
Yeah,
but like, if you want to classify this as like horror or fantasy or whatever, but like it takes a lot for a lot of genre movies to surprise me. Horror and fantasy and sci-fi specifically to do that. And this okay. movie really, really surprised me a couple of times, which I absolutely appreciate. Mm-hmm. Like, It Follows was a movie, like a similar movie.
That, oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
That
yeah,
kind
yeah.
of surprised me.
Yep.
In a couple of ways, despite its like very, very heavy-handed moralism. Like this movie as well. Like I liked it because like it had twists. It had twists yeah. that I really
well,
didn't
we've
expect.
We've talked about this before. Just about this movie is full of ideas being planted and paying off. Yep. Like all the mm-hmm. there are no wasted moments in this movie.
Yeah.
Everything
yeah,
that you
absolutely.
See. Is there for mm-hmm. a reason. And Seth, you've
yeah.
seen it a few times now, and it
yeah.
really even more so stood out, you said, after the
yeah.
main viewing. Yeah.
Because the second time I watched it, I saw all of the like components that later were going to pay off in the movie. Like, I love me a good red herring in in a movie to like kind of throw me off the track. Like that's this is one of the reasons why I think that for instance spoilers really don't bother me.
If it's well done, it's about how you get to the spoiler. Yeah.
Precisely. So like I'll like even if a movie is spoiled for me, I'll watch it again, and then like something that's really fun for me is seeing how well the writers and the directors manage to put the pieces together to the end goal. That's
sure.
something like I really enjoy in movies. And this movie, which was not spoiled for me, warranted multiple watchings.
Yeah.
So like it was like super fun and God, it's just white people are terrible. Like I know it. I'm a white person and I'm terrible.
Yeah. All right, so on that note, let's go around.
What is gonna win versus what we think should win?
Yes, exactly. Let's do our guesses for what is going to win and what you would like to win. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm not going first.
Lee, go first.
What is going to win? It's probably Three Billboards, and it's gonna be like Crash from 2005 or whenever
oh,
it was that
yeah.
everybody's like
yeah
oh why yeah. the fuck did that win
yeah unfortunately
and,
yeah
but I mean honestly like Get Out was amazing. It was so well done. You can argue all mm-hmm. you want that it's a horror movie, it was a fantastically made movie. This is like
mm-hmm. yeah
excellent.
Absolutely.
And like
start
second
to
that,
yeah.
obviously I haven't seen everything, but I thought Dunkirk was wonderful. And like in another time
yeah.
when people were more into war movies, I could easily see this winning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's sure. it's weird that Chris Nolan hasn't won an Oscar yet. Has
yeah.
he not?
I think he has won maybe screenwriting, but I'm honestly
yeah.
not sure. Mm-hmm.
God damn it, he's so good. He should win all the things. Yeah. yeah.
Well, anyway,
should,
Zach,
yeah.
what do you think about this?
I think going
to
'cause
it sounds
win,
like you've definitely seen more of these movies than
I've seen a lot of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna vote for going to win on one I haven't seen, which is the fucking PTA one.
Phantom
yeah.
Thread.
Phantom
yeah.
Thread.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think Daniel Day-Lewis is obviously good, and PTA fucking earned one. Like he's got to get one at some point.
He's a very good director.
He
yeah.
is an
mm-hmm.
incredibly good director. I don't mm-hmm. know that this is the one, but like that's how the Oscars work, right? Like
yeah,
there are a lot of lifetime achievement awards. You're right.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think for my choice, yeah, I mean, I'd go Get Out for sure. I haven't yet seen the Lady Bird, but I genuinely like her things usually. Yeah, Get Out's gotta be the one for the dealer's choice, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's so good. Mm-hmm. It's just fucking so good. Yeah.
So Seth, bring us home. Yeah.
All right. What I think will actually win is either going to be Three Billboards.
I think it might be that one. I think it genuinely might be that one.
Yeah, Three Billboards, or like for certain political reasons, I think Lady Bird could win, and for jacking off Gary Oldman, you probably could get a Darkest Hour in there.
Yeah.
And for you know, a lifetime achievement sort of situation, we could probably get a Phantom Thread in there. Like it's pretty much like none of these I think are actually the best movie from this choice. Like,
well, how many of them are going to be memorable in 5 years? Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, you have to think, like, this is how the Academy does it too. Is they're like, PTA has done so many good movies, like we gotta fucking throw him one at some point.
Yeah. I mean, notably, we've discussed many times how much like the Academy is kind of shitty and not that great, and so like one of those four movies is probably going to get it. I mean. It would be, The Post also is Oscar bait, but
God damn, Seth, please pick one.
Okay. The Post is not going to make it. It's one of those four that I already
They've all already won them. That's fine.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those. I don't really care. But.
Okay, well.
All right.
As for what I actually think is good in terms of merit, well, of course, that fish sex movie.
Yeah! Okay.
No. Like, that movie is good, but it's not a best Oscar.
Yeah!
Like, it's not a best picture. Like, it's fun, and it's, like, it is engaging, fun. And I care about all of the characters a lot, but it's not a best picture. It just isn't.
And Guillermo does deserve it, but I think he already got one, right?
No, like, he didn't.
No,
not for like Pans or any of that shit.
No, nope.
Oh
no.
Shit! All right.
I don't remember what he was.
He might have a screenplay award, but he didn't win Best Director for it.
Okay. Yeah, I don't remember what he was up against the year that Pan's Labyrinth came out.
It's like 2006. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. Anyway, Sexy Fish Man is not the movie.
Sure enough.
So I'm gonna go with Get Out. Again, even though like it's not going to win, but like I really enjoyed this movie.
Yeah, yes, very good movie.
Like the direction kept me guessing. It was engaging the entire way through.
Yeah.
There were a bunch of West Wing alumni in the movie, which is super important to me.
Bradley Whitford looking pretty good.
Bradley Whitford, sure, surprisingly, is like keeping it.
Would not
tight.
Have guessed it.
Yeah, no, sure.
So I guess with that, you have our picks.
Which is overwhelmingly Get Out.
Yeah, I mean, it's gotta be, right? So, I mean, prepare yourself, everyone. Put on your tuxedos and your beautiful gowns and leave your Warren Beatty's at home, because it's time for the Oscars, and Faking Movies says you should get out.